Hello, everybody. Welcome to another very special edition of MMA and Stuff here on halfguarded.com. My name is Matt Grady, and I am riding solo this week. Michael Coughlin is too tired to do a show. I am not, though. I am leaving work as I speak here. It's around 12:32 a.m. on Cape Cod, and I am headed north right now, northbound on the Cape. Anyway, I'm going to be honest here and not hold back. I really don't know what's going on in the world of MMA this week, or stuff, really. I also have had a busy last week. Both my kids' birthdays were last week. Had a couple birthday parties this weekend for them. It's now Wednesday, I think. Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't even know what day it is. That is how out of touch I am. So what I'm going to do, while I'm driving, mind you, there's nobody out right now. It's late on the Cape. There's nothing going on. I'm going to open up MMAfighting.com, and we are going to read the news together here. That's how out of touch I am. So we'll pull up MMA Fighting here. I don't know if that's the best website to go for MMA news, but I go to it a lot. Maybe we're supposed to go to ESPN now because that's where Ariel is, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the news based on what MMA Fighting is reporting as their top stories this week. The first thing I open up and I see here is Scott Coker details phone conversation that made him think Rory McDonald was quote-unquote nuts. Yeah, Rory McDonald seems like a weird guy. I didn't need to hear about this conversation to understand Rory McDonald's a weirdo. What else? Police say an arrest warrant is forthcoming for UFC fighter Andrea KGB Lee's husband, Donnie Aaron, on domestic violence charges. You know, you never want to see this. Obviously, domestic violence is not a joke. But when tragedy strikes, I often can't help myself. I'm not going to make a joke, but if you've been following Andrea Lee and her husband and know a little bit about his past, this isn't really a surprising story. He's apparently spent quite a few years in prison and kind of has a violent history in his past. It also came out that he has some Nazi tattoos. I'm not sure if it's a swastika or I don't even know. I'm not a Nazi tattoo expert. Like Iron Cross, I don't know. I'm probably screwing that up. Lightning bolts, SS stuff, I don't know. Either way, there was a picture of him on social media with Andrea Lee, and you could see the tattoos, and he never got them covered up, and Andrea Lee told people to not basically be such pussies about it, and people make mistakes or whatever, and then about a month later, he beats the shit out of her. So it looks like he might be getting arrested any day now and headed off to jail for some time for beating a woman. Talis Latis to retire after UFC Sao Paulo. My mind and my body tell me it's enough, Talis Latis says. Didn't know Talis Latis was still fighting. Go figure. He had a really bad fight against Anderson Silva back in the day. He was like the number one contender for the middleweight title at one point. That seems like a really, really long time ago. So yeah, UFC Sao Paulo, Talis Latis is retiring. What else? Glover Teixeira is out of UFC Sao Paulo. He was supposed to be in the main event. I forget against who. We're going to have to open up this story. But he's injured. He's got a shoulder injury. He was main eventing UFC Sao Paulo against Jimmy Manoa in a light heavyweight fight. So Glover's out of that fight. It was a quick turnaround for Glover coming off that last loss, too. So he's out. I know Anthony Smith offered to take that fight on short notice in Sao Paulo. Another name I saw was Khalil Roundtree was interested in it. I don't know at this point if anything's been rebooked, but those were the two names I heard to fill in for Glover at UFC Sao Paulo. UFC 227 numbers are in. I know that show did better than expected. I think it was around 300,000 buys. But let's open up this story and see what we've got here. This is by the famous Dave Meltzer. UFC 227 on August 4th in LA. Headlined by TJ Dillashaw versus Cody Garbrandt. And a co-main event of Mighty Mouse Johnson and Henry Cejudo is estimated at doing 300,000 buys. So, yeah, I got that number right. That's probably way ahead of most estimates people had going in for that show. I mean, Dillashaw doesn't have much of a name. Garbrandt, the UFC wanted to build and push as a star. And they thought they had something there with him, but now he's got two straight losses. Mighty Mouse is never drawn. I don't think anyone really cares about Henry Cejudo. So the fact that that show did 300,000 buys is, I wouldn't say it's a miracle, but it's about 100,000 more than I would have guessed. And I don't know what the reason is. Especially after you've got, you know, Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic coming in at under, I want to say under 400,000 buys. I think they did 380. I mean, that was a disappointing number. Now this show does 300, so I can't explain that. By the way, what you're hearing right now is me at the bank doing the night deposit. So pardon that. I probably banged the phone on my face while I was doing that. What else? So yeah, UFC 227, good number. I don't know if that means Dillashaw's a draw, or if Cody's a draw, or that alpha male Dillashaw snake in the grass storyline still held some fan interest. They were both on the Ultimate Fighter, but nobody really watches the Ultimate Fighter anymore, and that feud seemed over because Dillashaw won the first fight by knockout. So good number there. What other big news is there? Ticket prices for Khabib versus McGregor have been announced for UFC 229. Can open those up. I'm presuming no one listening to this show can afford tickets to this, but let's see. Tickets go on sale August 16th, Friday at 1 p.m. to the general public. Ticket prices are listed at $2,505. $2,005, $1,505. I don't understand why they're tacking on $5. That's odd. Every single price ends in five, which I can't say I've ever seen. Again, I'm not looking at all these ticket prices all the time, but that seems unusual. Usually they end in zero, a round number. But yeah, anywhere from $2,505 all the way down to $205. $205 are the cheapest seats. There will be a maximum number of 8 tickets allowed per customer. It's obviously to try and help with scalping, I guess. What else? Yeah, that should be a big show, if I had to guess. Conor versus Khabib. I don't have a buy prediction yet. Will it break the record? It's really going to depend on that build and how much Conor and Khabib are out there making press, making news. On paper, you would think it could beat the Nate fight, but I honestly think Nate and Nick Diaz have a cult following, whether it's stoners or, you know, I want to say punk kids or wannabe gangsters or whatever. Maybe real gangsters. I don't know. They've got a real dedicated cult following that'll pay to watch them fight. And I don't know if Khabib has that necessarily. Obviously, he's got the Russian Dagestani crowd, but it'll be interesting to see. Khabib's never really drawn on his own. He's never really been a pay-per-view or TV ratings draw. So to beat that 1.65 million buy show with Conor and Nate, it's going to take some work and some last-minute bottle throwing or dolly throwing or ref shoving, something. They're going to have to do something to build interest that last week if they want to beat the record. The show's going to be huge and super successful either way, but I wonder if Khabib is the right opponent and a big enough star yet. A lot of people seem to think he is, but does the general public know Khabib Nurmagomedov? Nah, I don't know if they do yet. I don't know if they do. Watch the MMA hour now. Not gonna do that. There's a car tailgating me on the highway right now. I'm hoping it's not a police officer. I'm gonna slow down a little bit, see if they pass me, hopefully. And they're still riding pretty close. Huh. Sorry about this. I know this is riveting radio. This guy is really riding me. And I don't know why. Not in the passing lane. Just driving along here. Alright, he's backing up a little bit. I don't like this. Alright, let's keep looking here. And hopefully he just passes me. I think there's a PFL tomorrow night. Oh, there was Dana White's Contender Series last week. Greg Hardy won again. I'm not sure where he's going to go, if he's going to keep fighting on like prelim shows like that, or where they're going to move him to. He's undefeated at 2-0 as a heavyweight pro now. So Greg Hardy might be on a, you know, some sort of fight night card or something against other inexperienced guys, or they'll wait till next summer for him to fight again on Contender Series. I don't know what they do with him. Jeez, this car is still all over me. Like, I even intentionally, like, tried to slow down a little bit so he'd pass me, and he didn't. Now he's still really riding me here. It's a little concerning. Moving along. At least this will be on audio if I've got some road rage guy out here at 1 a.m. following me. Some sort of SUV, I think. Anyway, Paulie Malignaggi says, no balls, Conor McGregor will look for a way out of Khabib Nurmagomedov fight. Yeah, it's possible. If Khabib's beating him up and kicking his ass on the ground, which is likely, could Khabib... I mean, Conor could easily give up his back and let Khabib get a choke, kind of like he did with Nate. Didn't look like Conor had a lot of heart in that first Nate fight, but who knows. I don't know how Malignaggi would know anyway, but Ben Henderson is back at Bellator 208 against Syed Awad. Golden Boy Promotions applies for first MMA event in November. Let's pull this story up. That's supposed to be Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell 3. Let's see. The well-known boxing promotion headed by Oscar De La Hoya filed an application last month with the California State Athletic Commission for an event to be held November 24th at the Forum in Inglewood, California. per a CSAC document obtained by MMA Fighting via open records request. The main event listed on the application is Liddell vs. Ortiz 3, though sources told MMA Fighting that the fight has not officially been set. The application states that it will be a Ring TV pay-per-view event. CSAC plans on approving the event. Commission Executive Officer Andy Foster told MMA Fighting. De La Hoya told Fight Hub TV on Tuesday that Liddell vs. Ortiz was being booked for the weekend of November 25th. It's going to be around Thanksgiving. He added that current fighter pay in MMA makes me sick to my stomach. So apparently Oscar De La Hoya is going to make good with MMA fighters and pay them better than the UFC or Bellator by signing Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, two of the highest paid fighters in MMA history. That's helpful, Oscar. Real, real good. What else does Oscar have to say? I'm looking forward to getting into the MMA world and making sure these fighters are being compensated well. We risk our lives in the ring, so fighters should be compensated extremely well. Yeah, fighters should be paid better. You're not going to get an argument from me for that. I mean, especially in the UFC where, you know, they're signing $500 million TV deals and, you know, the promoter Dana White's worth $500 million himself. Yeah, you can pay the fighters more than 10 and 10. I totally get that. At the same time, you can't be any company in business and be losing money. So I'll be curious to see how well the Golden Boy MMA fighters, lower level guys, are paid. Because I mean, how well are these shows going to do on pay-per-view? How many is De La Hoya going to run? Is this going to be a one-off? I don't know. I can't imagine Liddell and Tito doing more than 100,000 buys in 2018. But maybe there's some intrigue there with Liddell. I've got no interest in seeing him fight 10 years after his last fight where he got knocked out for, you know, the fourth time in six fights against Rich Franklin. There was a reason Dana White forced Liddell to retire. It was because he didn't want to see Liddell get knocked out anymore or get hurt anymore. And it looked like Liddell was a shot fighter. And that was in 2010, 2009 maybe. That was a long time ago. And Liddell's 48 now. Tito's been old and washed up for a long time too. I mean, he always managed to stay competitive in the UFC, even at the end. But it was like he was losing to Matt Hamill and guys who weren't top. I mean, Matt Hamill wasn't really a top 10 light heavyweight, and Tito couldn't beat him. I mean, the Forrest Griffin fights were competitive, and I mean, he was competitive. It wasn't like he was getting knocked out all the time. And even at the end, I mean, he had that Chael Sonnen win. He was kind of sort of competitive with Liam McGeary there. He got a takedown. He looked good for a minute until he got choked out. All right, the guy behind me, update, big news, breaking news, is getting off the highway here. Oh, wow. 7 News, WHDH.com just passed me on the highway. It's like the local CBS affiliate in Boston, I think. I think there was some sort of, like, shark attack out on the Outer Cape, like Wellfleet or Truro. Some guy was out swimming or surfing or something, and a shark, like, bit his leg or something. He had to be, like, airlifted off the beach or something. So I'm guessing that's why they were down here. The only time you really see, like, news trucks from Boston down here is when there's a beach-related incident or a really bad storm. Because usually the cable get hit harder because we're obviously surrounded by the ocean out here, so the wind and stuff gets rough. So a lot of times they'll send reporters down to stand by the ocean and get blown around and rained on, which is always a weird job. I can't really imagine that. Like, oh, you're waiting around all week to get a story or something. Like, ah, mind going down to the Cape and hang out in a blizzard? Ah, sure, no problem. Weird gig. Local news. Speaking of news, let's go back to MMA fighting here. Oh, geez. This is going to come as bad news to everyone listening. Magnus Sättenblad announces retirement from MMA. Tough day. What else? Not a lot of news this week. Brendan Schaub blasts UFC for putting marketing money behind Greg Hardy and not Nick Newell. That's interesting. I get Greg Hardy has a checkered past, to say the least. Not a fan of domestic violence. You're probably a really shitty human being if you engage in that. At the same time, you know, at a certain point, do you pay your dues and deserve a second chance, or should you be an outcast from society forever? There's an argument there. Did the UFC have to sign Greg Hardy? No. Could another MMA promotion have signed him? Sure. As far as I know, Hardy hasn't had any other incidences. He's apparently been on the straight and narrow. He's cleaned up his life and he's doing okay. And Schaub's argument is that they're putting too much marketing money behind Greg Hardy. I haven't seen a lot of promotion for Greg Hardy, to be honest. I know on the Contender Series he's been in the main event, but it's on UFC Fight Pass with 100,000 subscribers. Where they're pushing Greg Hardy and spending a lot of money to promote him, I haven't seen it. So, again, Schaub's probably talking off the cuff just like I am right now. But at least I'm not just making shit up. Tom Lawler says he was released by UFC just before expiration of USADA suspension. This is a weird one. Lawler was suspended like 22 months ago. He tested positive for something called Osterine, and he couldn't explain why or how. I believe he had a bunch of things he was taking, supplements or whatever, coffee drinks, all sorts of stuff tested. None of it came back positive for Osterine, so he had to take a 2-year suspension because he didn't have a legitimate excuse for this Osterine in his system. So in the meantime, I know he's done some indie pro wrestling and stuff and some podcasts and has stayed relatively busy, I guess, while waiting for his suspension to end with USADA and the UFC. In the meantime, he had asked to be released, like, from the initial suspension. I think he wanted to go fight elsewhere, whether it's Ryzen or, I don't know if he could fight in Bellator. I don't know if that USADA suspension, it would have to, because all the commissions kind of work together, as far as I know. So he'd have to go overseas, Ryzen probably, to fight over there if he was going to fight anywhere. Although Mir fought his suspension. I don't know. Mir went to Bellator, but maybe his suspension was already up. Either way, Lawler wanted to be released to go fight elsewhere. UFC wouldn't release him. So he presumably, you know, in 2 months, he'd be back in the UFC fighting at light heavyweight in a division that was pretty thin and, you know, could maybe rattle off a couple more wins at 35 years old and make one more run in the UFC. And then they cut him 2 months before the suspension is up. Why they didn't cut him, you know, 18 months ago is beyond me. Why hold on to a guy all that time just to release him 2 months before he was going to be back is baffling. obviously Lawler's not a huge draw or a big name necessarily, but he certainly had some charisma and an underground following that most guys in the UFC don't have. He had those flashy ring entrances, and he was always competitive. He wasn't like the most athletic fighter or the best fighter, and I think he was undersized at 205 for sure, but I mean, in his last two fights, I think he had a knockout win over, God damn it, the tall guy who trains with Chris Weidman. He pretended to pick his nose at the last show. It's going to drive me crazy. I can picture him. Looks like a jock sort of guy. Good description. White guy. Brown hair. If Coughlin was here, he could help me. It's late. Shit. I can't really look it up either while I'm driving and talking into my phone here. Can't think of his name. Anyway, Lawler had that knockout win. Now I think he had a decision loss to Corey Anderson. And Anderson's a decent light heavyweight. He's not John Jones or anything, but he's a top 10 guy and has been hanging around. And Lawler had a close decision loss to him. So it wasn't like Lawler was terrible or totally shot at the end there. So weird decision by the UFC. It almost seemed, on the surface anyway, seems like it was done in bad faith. Again, I'm just talking shit here off the top of my head, so don't sue me, Dana White, or hold me to that. Derek Lewis is in the co-main event of UFC 229 against Alexander Volkov. That would be a good show to main co-main event, Derek Lewis. I hope your back holds up and you get to that one, and I mean that genuinely. I am a big, big time Derek Lewis fan. He is one of my top 10 favorite fighters at the moment, and that's in spite of the terrible Francis Ngannou fight. Lewis has a chronically bad back. He was actually on the MMA Hour this week, and I listened to his segment on there, and he mentioned that he got some shots in his back. Like about 20 shots in his lower back. That's supposed to alleviate some of the issues, muscle spasms, whatever he's been having. And he told Luke Thomas on the show that he got about 20 shots of steroids in his back. And Thomas is like, was that like USADA approved? And Lewis said it was. So hopefully Lewis doesn't pop for anything here in the next couple weeks due to these shots he got in his back. So apparently there's different types of steroids you can take out there. Some that are obviously more sports enhancing, and some that are a little more medicinal, I guess. Derek Lewis, Alexander Volkov. That's going to be a tough fight for Lewis. Volkov's got a long, long reach, and Lewis is going to have to get inside and land shots, and it's like his mobility sometimes isn't the best. He said he was also going to try and drop some weight. He said he walks around at like 285, and he likes to be walking around more at like 255, so Lewis is changing his diet up here, it looks like, too, according to the old MMA Fighting. Oh, this story wasn't even covered on MMA Fighting, and I might just stop here. There's this story about Ali Abdelaziz. He's a manager for a lot of fighters in the UFC and PFL and probably Bellator as well, but you see him all over the place. He's got a shaved head. He's Egyptian. And he came to the States around 9/11, and there's this guy, Mike Russell is his name on Twitter, who's written some stories about Abdelaziz's past, and there's some like legitimate like terrorist connections, it looks like. Abdelaziz says this is all garbage, this and that, but Abdelaziz claimed he was on the Egyptian Olympic team, and he isn't, and just a lot of things with Abdelaziz don't look good, especially these stories by Mike, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank, but he apparently was upset because this restaurant owner of a place called Rivoli's, I think it's in Jersey, has a cardboard cutout of Frankie Edgar in his restaurant that Edgar signed at Rivoli's at an event. So Ali started texting the owner of this restaurant, basically telling him to go fuck himself and threatening him. I think he said he was going to choke him if he saw him, or sue him, like a whole bunch of threats, basically, if this restaurant owner didn't take down the cardboard cutout of Frankie Edgar. It was like Edgar went there and signed the thing. So this story was going all over Twitter, but it didn't get much play anywhere, I guess you could say, legitimate. I don't think MMA Fighting or ESPN or anywhere picked up on this. But Abdelaziz is like a big-time manager in MMA. I think he's got like 100 fighters under contract. And you're talking like Cody Garbrandt, Frankie Edgar, Khabib, Nurmagomedov. A lot of big-name fighters. I mean, he was just in that brawl a little while ago with Kamaru Usman at a PFL card. He was also accused of, like, going to a hotel room and beating some guy up at another PFL show. Abdelaziz seems like bad news. I mean, most managers in MMA are considered scumbags, and I guess some people don't consider this real news because this is just how all MMA managers are, but Abdelaziz seems worse than most. I don't see Malky being tied to any terrorist groups. So yeah, that was a funny story. The owner of Rivoli's, put up a bunch of stuff on Twitter, talking about Abdelaziz and him being a jerk and everything. And it seemed to get a little traction, but none of the major sites, your Aerials or, I don't even know, Bloody Elbow, I don't think any of those really picked up on the story, but I found it entertaining, because I find restaurants entertaining and crazy MMA managers pretty entertaining. I am almost home now, but we're going to look here, see if there's anything else. Here's some real news. Rampage Jackson gives dogs mohawks. That's a legit story on MMA Fighting right now. Yeah, and that's basically the end of today's news. Let's pull up Twitter real quick, see if there's anything on Twitter we need to cover. Then I'm going to get out of here. This may not have even recorded. I don't know. I also know I'm really thirsty right now, and I'm kind of losing my voice. Rihanna and Donald Glover appear to be working on a mystery project. In entertainment news, I'm assuming that's music related. Well, I guess Rihanna acts too. Donald Glover, also known as Childish Gambino, he had that This Is America video. Millennials have killed mayonnaise. I guess millennials eat less mayonnaise than Gen Xers. I guess that's what that means. Oh, this is good. Study finds weed killer ingredient in breakfast cereals. Let's pull that one up. A study by the Environmental Working Group found elevated levels of glyphosate, a chemical used in weed killing agents, in a number of breakfast cereals. Huh. Glyphosate was previously linked to cancer by the state of California and World Health Organization, but others dispute the claim. Of course they do. Nobody knows. One minute they say you shouldn't have too much fat and bacon, and then that's the next diet craze, and that's supposed to be healthier for you. You go paleo or, you know, keto, whatever it might be, and that's supposed to be the way to go because it's the way our ancestors ate. You shouldn't have all these processed foods. I don't know. They changed the food pyramid. It'll probably change again in another 20 years. We're still learning about that shit, and I don't think we have all the answers yet. My one bit of eating advice is, if it smells bad or tastes bad, don't eat it. That's why we have noses and tongues, to see if food is bad, rotten, spoiled, that sort of thing. If it tastes good and you eat it in moderation, you'll probably be fine. I wouldn't worry too much about it. That's my diet tip of the week. And back to MMA real quick. Upcoming shows. There's no UFC this weekend. There is a Bellator show, though. I think it's in South Dakota. I want to say it's Sioux Falls. Don't quote me on that. Darian Caldwell is defending, I want to say, the Bellator featherweight title against Nawad Lohat. There's a couple good prospects on that show, too. I think James Gallagher, their little Irish kid, who is basically their Conor McGregor clone, is fighting. I think there's another guy like Logan Preston or something like that on the show. Logan something, who has looked pretty good. I think he's like 8-0, welterweight, who's got some potential. I think he's got like a All-American wrestling background, that sort of thing. What else? I guess that's it. I'm actually pulling into my driveway now. Gonna try and add some music or something to this and make it listenable. I apologize for all the ums and ahs. I know this wasn't the greatest show of all time, but it was the best I could do. I didn't have a mic. I'm all by myself in my car, in my driveway, home safe, no accidents. That guy who was tailgating me for two exits didn't try and kill me or anything. So thanks for listening. Hopefully next week we'll be back to normal shows, both Mike and I together at the same time, talking about all the news and MMA and stuff. For now, thank you for listening. My name is Matt. This was MMA and Stuff on halfguarded.com. You can listen to this show on all your favorite listening platforms. We will catch you again next week. Bye-bye.